Our Bible study now this morning in the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. We've been studying for the last couple of weeks here in the first 11 verses. And we have seen Jesus' parable, if you will. Verse 6 says, "This parable spake Jesus." Jesus is giving an earthly story to describe an eternal or heavenly principle. He's using natural things in order to describe spiritual realities and spiritual truths. He is teaching here to a people who have natural minds. They are not spiritually renewed, and we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that it's only the spiritual man that understands spiritual things. And so Jesus is using natural things in order to describe these spiritual truths and to make them real to the people. In this particular story, he's using the illustration of a shepherd, his sheep, and the sheepfold. He has shown us the character of the porter, the one that protects the entryway to the sheepfold. And he's described the work of thieves and robbers. They're the ones that try to get into the sheepfold by some other way other than the correct way or the legal way. I think we'll just read down through the 11 verses as a refresher, and then I want to go back and continue where we left off last week. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Now, we've been talking the last couple of weeks how Jesus is describing himself here as the good shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep, that one who watches over the sheep, that one who has legal custody of the sheep, granted to him by the one who owns the sheep, how they follow him, how he leads them in and out. He leads them into safety and security, and he leads them out into fresh pasture and good food and so on. And as we were talking about this last week, we left off, we began to talk about the ministry of the under-shepherd and the ministry of the pastor, and how God has ordained Jesus as the chief shepherd of our souls, the one who has custody and responsibility over the entire flock of God, everyone who has ever come to sonship by faith in Jesus Christ is under the responsibility and the custody of Jesus. He is the one who is making intercession for us. He is the one that is standing in our place in the presence of God for us. He is the one who performed the high priestly function in providing for the sacrifice for our sins and forgiveness for our sins. But in terms of the day-to-day responsibility for the flock, he has called some from the flock, if you will, and called them to be shepherds. The word pastor is the English word that we use to describe what he is talking about here. The word pastor is only translated in the King James Bible one time in the New Testament, and that's in Ephesians 4 and 11, where the fivefold ministry is described. But the Greek word there is translated in John chapter 10, shepherd. And so Jesus is not talking in Ephesians chapter 4 about himself. He said that when he ascended on high, Paul records under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that when Jesus, after his resurrection, ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. And one of those gifts he gave was shepherds, not shepherd, but shepherds, under shepherds. He gave persons, men, who would have responsibility for segments of the flock. He has the overall responsibility, but he has designated to those whom he has called, specifically as pastors or shepherds, the responsibility for oversight over the flock. We talked a little bit about that last week, and we're going to some more today. We get down into the 12th and following verses, that all men who carry the title of pastor are not gifts from Jesus. Just because a man is termed pastor does not mean that he is a gift to the church. Some, unfortunately, have come in a side door. Some, unfortunately, would come under the category of thieves and robbers, and it's not up to me to identify which or which. That's up to you. So that's up to the sheep to decide who you're going to follow and who is the shepherd that Jesus has ordained for you. Now, if we may identify some qualities here from this passage, some of the things that we've said about Jesus are true for the under-shepherd, obviously in a diminished form, in terms of, not in terms of the responsibility, but in terms of the scope, if you follow what I'm saying, that an under-shepherd ought to be as much like Jesus as it's possible for him to be, recognizing that there are imperfections in us all, but Jesus is ordained that if he's going to give a gift of a shepherd to a church, that that shepherd ought to be as much like him as possible. Now, I want to ask you, from the passage that we have just read, what are some of the qualities, some of the characteristics, some of the responsibilities, and some of the prerogatives of an under-shepherd? What would you have to say about a pastor of a church from this passage of Scripture? About his calling, about his responsibility, about his prerogatives, about his work, about his ministry, about his relationships to the flock, to others, what have you. I just want to throw it open and ask you to comment. Nancy? Okay. Pastor will give forth the word. What is the word to sheep? The word is food to sheep. And so where he's describing here about finding pasture, wouldn't that be a similar kind of thing? A shepherd will take his flock to good pasture. Unfortunately, many shepherds are only taking their flocks to pasture that has been eaten over. Have you ever tried to raise animals on a pasture that didn't have any grass in it? There's just nothing there for them to eat. And you know what happens to them? They just starve. They're just starved to death. Somebody said last night that it was time that our pastors took the people beyond John 3:16. You know, you can graze over John 3:16 until you have it. I mean, John 3:16 is a magnificent scripture, but there's not enough pasture there for the people of God. It's satisfactory to get them into the pasture, but there's just not enough food there. God's pastors, the shepherds, need to take the people on to feed more of the word, more pasture, so that the flock is healthy, well-fed. Ray K. Something else before we leave this part about going before. Someone else have some other insight on that. See, that's important. That's very important. That's what I wanted you to get a hold of. Cattle, you drive. But sheep won't drive. You just can't drive sheep. You have to lead them, and they will follow. As a result, generally, a flock of sheep will travel slower. And a good pastor, you see, will move at the pace of his flock. And he may be able to walk a lot faster, but he must stay, see, close enough to his flock that he doesn't walk out in front of them. So what you have said, brother, is so true. A good shepherd will lead his flock. He goes before them, not behind them with a club, but in front of them with a drawing. Okay? Something else now, before we leave, this particular thing about going before them. Okay? Anticipating danger. All right? Okay? An example. That's what I was looking for. Sheep need something, someone to follow. And if you'll go back and read Numbers, I believe it's the 34th chapter, there's a very beautiful passage there about God speaking to Moses about his death and saying that you need to draw Joshua, who has been following you for all this time, and anoint him and pray over him that he may go in and out before the people and so on. If you read that verse, I forget exactly what verse it is. It's really especially precious in identifying what a shepherd is. And God went on to say that so that the people would not be like sheep without a shepherd. And so a shepherd will be an example. And if he's not a good example, then he's not a good shepherd. He's just not a true shepherd. Now, there's one other facet here on this particular point before we leave it. Ray's point that a shepherd will go before, and I want you to catch. I find something that you've heard me say it from the pulpit. Things that the Lord is doing in my life, and then I will say to you, get ready, because it's coming to you. And it has happened exactly like that. Ever since I have been your pastor, the Lord will do something in my life, and then I know that it's going to be happening in yours. And he told me a long time ago when he called me to bring forth his word, he said, don't you worry about getting things together in order to teach the people. You teach them what I'm teaching you. And the principle is a shepherd will have gone through so that he knows. And time after time after, I can't identify the number of times this has happened, that things will occur in my life. And then a particular event or a particular truth will manifest itself to me through my experience and something the Lord has revealed to me. And then for a period of a few days thereafter, or a few weeks thereafter, or a few months thereafter, the people who are needing counsel, that's what they need. Just what I've just experienced. And time after time, that has happened. Okay, all right, that's another principle here. And it's the one Jesus was talking about in the 11th verse, that he lays down his what? His life. He lays down his self-life. What kind of life was that we'd said last week? His psuche life. His psuche life. We would say his psyche life. He lays down his emotional life. He lays down his feeling life. He lays down his self-life. How would a pastor do that? And since you've mentioned that, could I say this in the event that the Lord may be speaking to someone here about such a ministry, that you must take the burdens of the people. A pastor must do that. But a pastor cannot possibly carry them. I learned that a long time ago, that I have to take your burdens and cast them over on the Lord. Otherwise, I break. And oftentimes when you come to me and you say, you remember, Pastor, back 3 months ago we prayed about thus and so, and I say, no, I don't remember. It's not because I don't care. It's because I have cast it over on the Lord, because I can't carry that. It's too much. I found out in the first few weeks that I was a pastor that it was more than I could handle. And I just couldn't carry all the worries. I couldn't carry all the anxieties. I just couldn't deal with all those things. And so I learned how to, when you come with your problems, I learned how to take those and then cast them over on the Lord. See? And hopefully you'll do the same thing. And sometimes you may even have the thought, the devil may tell you, well, he doesn't really care because he didn't cry. Oh, I've had some of you have really misunderstood me in many ways. This is the kind of thing the devil does. You better watch this. We had a situation here in the church service one Sunday morning. A lady came from me to the congregation when we were having our fellowship time. And she said, I just have to ask you to forgive me. And I said, for goodness sakes, what for? She said, well, I really have had some bad feelings towards you this past week. And I said, why? I mean, I hadn't even spoken to her. We just had any contact at all. She said, well, last Sunday when we had our fellowship time and I came to you and I said, I love you, Pastor. And you didn't say, I love you back. I said, God bless you, or amen, or I just prayed in tongues or something, you know. But because I didn't say I love you, the devil told her he doesn't love you. And he filled her mind full of all that junk all week. I mean, she had built up this tremendous anxiety. And people who really love their shepherd need that love from the shepherd. And, you know, and that's a really tender spot there. And the devil loves to come in and destroy that. And so she realized what had happened to her, and she needed forgiveness because she had held something against me that wasn't even there. And so the enemy really is in there trying to destroy that thing. But the point I was trying to make is that a pastor must take the burdens of the people, but he must be able to cast them over on the Lord. Otherwise, he'll break them. That is why a lot of pastors don't make it beyond a few years. That's why you have a lot of pastors who pastor a while and then leave the ministry because they can't carry the load. You don't have any idea what kind of load that is. And I'm not making a big thing out of it. It's just the way it is. And the more people you have, the greater the load is. And the less words you put out, the greater the load is, you know, because people don't know how to take care of their own difficulties. All right? Amen. Good point. I found that in my own personal life, that the most important thing in my life is my personal relationship with Jesus Christ and my personal time with Him. And as you say, if we don't have that, then we've got nothing to give. And I will do that even to the exclusion of other things. Find time with the Lord. And what I have found is that when I'm doing that, the Lord takes care, the great shepherd takes care of the sheep while that's going on. That's so true and so difficult for us to do. How many of you have experienced that where you have given counsel to someone else and you wanted to counsel according to how you felt, but the Word didn't support it and you had to give counsel according to the Word? You know what I'm talking about? And sometimes the people don't receive it. They don't like it. I remember one event in particular where it talks about when we're talking about your own self-life. The one thing that I have found, though, and we have this image of pastors, that pastors don't have any time of their own, that they don't have any life of their own, that to be a pastor is a miserable kind of thing. I want you to know that that's not true. That's not true. That when I made a decision to put the Lord first and to put His work first and to give and so on, He has given back to me in time and in every other area more so than I ever thought was possible. It's the decision to lay down your life. It's not so much that you have my phone does ring at very unusual times, but it's not an everyday occurrence. It's not something that drives us batty at the house. And the people, you all, are very considerate of that, and I appreciate that. But the kinds of things that do happen are these. We were, all of you were able to go to the Omni, to the Copeland Convention, and really enjoyed that, and we weren't able to get to any of those meetings. I had never been to a Kenneth Copeland meeting, and he came to Birmingham several years ago. And a number of you went over to that meeting, and we had planned to go on that Friday night because I had never seen Kenneth Copeland in person and wanted to so much. And something came up that day. I don't remember what it was, some ministry or so on that we needed. And we were unable to go. Everybody else was able to go, but we weren't able to go. But the Lord has returned that thing in situations like that, so many hundreds of times that I remember that, but I'm not disappointed over it. Okay? Discipline and comfort, huh? Rescue. All right, other things, other aspects of the ministry, Joe. There's a certain loneliness that goes with that as well. If you're out in front, Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay His head. Before I became a pastor, a word of prophecy came to me through a source that had no idea what was going on. A fellow called me one evening and said, the Lord has just been on me all day long to tell you, to give you this word. I don't remember exactly. I've written it down somewhere, but it was while I was wrestling with this decision. And he said that it would be a lonely place, but that he would be all that I would need, and some words to that effect. And, there is a certain amount of that. That content, you see, those in the church who have that contented bah, 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 so to speak, are those who have learned how to trust the Good Shepherd. And they're the ones that have learned that when there's danger, that warning and protection is also there. And that until the shepherd says, danger, danger, there's no need to get excited. Those that are constantly concerned about protecting themselves, and that, you know, always looking around here, just, you know, making sure, they're the ones that don't have any trust in the shepherd, don't have any confidence in the good shepherd, primarily, that he is big enough, strong enough, and caring and loving enough to protect them, should the danger really be there. That's a good analogy. Other principles from this passage, Don?
Along this line, like Philip brought that out, when I was in Germany, we had two flocks of sheep, and like the And it's something to see a flock of sheep walking down the side of the runway with fighters taking off and bombers taking off. And they're just going right about their business of eating and being sheep. And then the noise and the activity up and down the runway doesn't affect them. But then you see the shepherd, as he would start to run across the runway, and the sheep would run behind him. And they've got to have a complete trust. The sheep have got to trust the pastor.
Yes.
And or the shepherd. And vice versa, the shepherd has got to be strong enough to put down the trust.
There's a certain, let me comment on that before we move past that, because I don't want anybody to misunderstand something here. Over in the Psalms, we're instructed never to put your trust in man. Because when man dies, he goes into the grave. You don't put your trust in man or the princes of men. There's really only one man that you can completely and absolutely trust, that's Jesus. There has never been a pastor in the flesh that is worthy of the kind of trust that we would give the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think I told you last week that the Scripture does not tell sheep to trust their under-shepherd. The Scripture says, follow him and obey him. But it says, put your trust in Jesus. Now, this is how that becomes manifest. Let's just take our situation right here at Water of Life. You don't, some of you do trust me, but that's not really necessary. It makes it easier for us to work together when you do, but that's not really absolutely necessary for us to function together. And you certainly wouldn't want to put your ultimate trust in me, because I'm flesh and I can fail and I can miss it. But those of you who are the most comfortable and those of you who are the most content are not the ones who have put their trust in me, but the ones who have learned how to trust Jesus, knowing that he is bigger than me. Are you with me? And if I were about to lead you astray, he would sound the alarm for you. Do you understand what I mean? And so your confidence is not in me. Your confidence is in him. And you're trusting him, knowing that if I was about to lead you in the wrong direction, that he would alert you. And as long as he's not alerting you, then you have perfect confidence to follow me where I say go. Does that make sense? And that's what makes for contented sheep. Those who are not able to do that do not have a problem with a pastor. They have a problem with God. And we'll say that again. Those that are unwilling to follow and unwilling to obey do not have a problem with the under-shepherd. They've got a problem with the chief shepherd. Their view of the chief shepherd is not very large. They feel that the pastor, the one they can see with their eyes, is bigger and more powerful than the chief shepherd, which they cannot see with their eyes. And they don't believe that Jesus is big enough to protect them, if you understand that. Now, that may sound to be sharp, and it may sound unusual to some of you, but I believe if you think it through, you will see how true that is. Now, I observe it in the congregation, just in ministering to people. Those who are the most content are the ones that are operating in the deepest level of faith and the deepest level of trust in the Lord. Those who have trouble with a pastor, the basic problem is unbelief. I mean, it's just that simple. There's nothing complicated about it. It's a problem of unbelief. They don't believe that Jesus is big enough. And so they're concerned about, I have to look after myself. Well, I tell you, I tried to look after myself for 37 years. And it just didn't work. I mean, my life was miserable. And I'm not going back to that. I'm just not going back into it. I am satisfied that if I miss it, that God will protect you. I'm just satisfied with that. That if I fall off the path, the Lord will protect you, that he will not allow you to be harmed. Yeah?
Within this particular passage, too, the boys within our path, and what God brings up, for people that have never seen actual sheep work, it's just beautiful. I spent an hour just watching go on tonight. But here is your shepherd, which is our pastor, leading this flock of sheep. And around these sheep, the Lord has given us some dogs. These dogs are there to assist the shepherd.
That's right.
Okay. Putting this on an equal playing parallel, these dogs would be the equivalent of the elders. That they're there to reach out and the authority of the governing body of the church. And they pull each with one sheep goes out here. The shepherd does not have the time as the shepherd eating the sheep. Well, grab that. He sends a dog. And that dog, if this group gets off here, or this group needs a little extra help out there, this dog goes out.
With the shepherd's authority.
Yes, the shepherd's authority. Because he sends them. He sends them. Okay. Well, the same as our elders. They go out as the pastor sends them.
Very similar ministry.
Very similar ministry.
Very similar. Mm-hmm. All right. Other thoughts then about pastors and as relates to this scripture here, Ron?
Pastor's
really God's man. You have to be careful about
persecuting because he's so tall. He says, why persecute them? He was persecuting pastors, but he was actually persecuting Jesus himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dangerous
spot to be in, Jeff.
I think another area that's really blessed me, again, looking at the pastoral ministry, in verse 11, he talks about the shepherd laying down his life. And an aspect that kind of ties a lot of those points together is that as a pastor lays down his self-life, his flesh, to walk in the Spirit, he then brings together all these other aspects as far as the trust and confidence and bringing the food about for the sheep. But without laying down his life and walking in the Spirit, there's not that ability to be the shepherd that he's supposed to be.
Too much of him and not enough Jesus. Okay, Kathy?
I read something about sheep that I thought was real unusual. You know how it says that in the 23rd Psalm, he anoints their head with oil,
yes,
the good shepherd. The sheep are helpless. They get an insect up their nose, and they'll butt their heads till they die.
Yes.
And it buzzes and it drives them batty.
Yes.
And the good shepherd, that he has to anoint their head with oil in your nose,
yes,
to keep that insect from getting them there, because yes, the sheep will butt its head to death.
That's right. That's right. One of the things I want to do, I've done some reading, but I've never worked with sheep. I work with almost every other kind of animal but sheep. And I want to go where there are some sheep. Barbara's brother is a sheep farmer out in Indiana. And is that right? Well, he could give us some real insight, couldn't he, on sheep and shepherd. I would like to go just take a month or a season or something, you know, and just work with a shepherd and be around sheep and just see, you know, how they are. I found out how little I knew when Barbara's brother was here and we were at Robbie's graduation, and I leaned, just making conversation with him, and I said, how many sheep do you have in your herd? And he knew right away, and a sheep are not a herd, they're a flock. And he knew right away that that's like, how many of you know how to pronounce the capital of Florida? Is it Miami or Miami? Huh? Neither one. It's Tallahassee. But how many of you how many of you had an answer ready for me that wasn't Rogers? How many of you? Come on, let me see your hands. That's right. So we can find out how little we know about things, you know, that we think we know. A lot of you could catch most people on that one right there. All right, I don't want to leave this now. I want to there's some other things in this passage if we can, I want to come back to this next week, because there are a couple of things here in verses 4 and 5 that I want to deal with, and then we'll go down to verse 12. Be thinking about that this week, and be thinking about how this relates to the local pastoral ministry. It will help you to understand how we work together. It'll help you to understand me a little better. It'll help you to understand yourselves better, and it will help you to perceive. It'll help you to count the cost, those of you that the Lord may be moving in your life about the pastoral ministry. You certainly want to count the cost before you would enter that kind of a ministry. So we'll pick that up next week, and then I believe we'll be able to go on down through verses 12 through 18. Father, we're grateful for the pastoral ministry. We thank you for the good shepherding work that Jesus has done, and the fact that he has gifted his church with God-called shepherd pastors, those that will not lord it over the flock, but who will be an example to the flock, leading them, going out before them, feeding them, protecting them, and being concerned for them, laying down their lives that the sheep might have life. We thank you for the example of Jesus. And we look to him as the example of the true pastor shepherd. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that example, Lord. Amen.